This is the next to the last lesson. So we're going to finish with lesson 12 tonight. Get this all around here. Talk about being imitators of God. And then this coming Sunday and Wednesday, Jonathan will finish with lesson 13, so bountifully, and then with the quarter will be over. So we moved a little bit fast on Sunday, and we're going to move fast again tonight to try to cover as much as we can in this lesson. Be imitators of God. This picture here, if you can see that, a father said to his son, "Be careful where you walk, son." And the son replied, "You be careful where you walk, for remember that I follow in your footsteps." And so being imitators of God or followers of God is what we're looking at. Christians are imitators, followers of God. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 1, "Therefore be imitators of God, dear children," Paul said to the church at Ephesus. "Therefore we walk in love," Ephesians 5, verse 2, "and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Walk in love. And so as we follow Christ and imitate Christ, then that's a sweet-smelling aroma for the Father. We walk as children of light, Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 13. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And so as we walk in love and walk in light, as we imitators of God, verses 12 and 13, "For it's shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret," those the evil ones, the ones who are not walking in light but walking in darkness. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light." You know, the old adage, when you turn on a light in a room and or a barn or something, and then the critters start scattering. They don't like the light. They like to be in the dark. And they're exposed by the light. "We walk as wise," Ephesians 5. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So as we're imitators of God, wisdom has to come into play. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, I mean, that I've read that a number of times and just went right past that last phrase. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And understanding is more than just reading or being exposed to it. Understanding is much more richer. It's much more involved. It's much more work, if you will. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk as filled with the Spirit. Walk as filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5. "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation." We'll talk about dissipation a little bit more here. "But be filled with the Spirit." That's a either or. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, instead of speaking to others about worldly things, even evil things. In the church, we speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's a way of teaching. We teach our little children with songs, right? Back there you hear them singing every Sunday and every Wednesday. They're singing songs. And those songs are teaching them. They're not only learning them a little melody, but they're learning the words. And then they'll apply the words as they get older. And in verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another." And that's a hard part because we're all individuals and we work and do things with our lives. And sometimes we forget about this. So in this lesson, we study Paul's exhortation to be imitators, followers of God. All right? And that's kind of a little overview. To imitate or follow means to copy, among other things. We imitate God as children whom he loves. I brought up those children back there. They're imitating what their teachers are doing with them. The songs, the hand motions, the puppets, whatever they use down there back there as teaching aids, they're copying those things. Our response to God's love is to walk in love. We looked at Ephesians. Let's look at 1 John 4. We loved him. We love him because he loved us first. And he loved us when we were evil. And he loved us before we were lovable, which is a marvelous thing. Jesus is part of the Godhead. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have held concerning the word of life, the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have eyewitness testimony about the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. And as we're imitators of the Father, we have to be imitators of the Son as well. Christians must imitate Jesus. It's as simple as that. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this be in you, which was in Christ. Imitate Christ. Follow Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And so we have to put off our puffed up chest and our wanting to be the line leader, if you will. It's what kids in kindergarten call it, the line leader. I want to be the line leader. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so the old adage of who is first shall be last, and the last shall be first, is applied here. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus let himself be led away and mistreated and then murdered for us. And he could have called 10,000 angels just by thinking it, and he didn't. And so as we look at Peter, 1 Peter 2, in verse 21, for to this you were called, talking to us, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. To death, many have, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, when people spoke evil of him, when people denigrated him, did not revile in return. Did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. I'll get you. No. But committed himself to him who judges righteously. The Father will sort all that out at the last day. And so, and it's hard, you know. Americans were pioneers, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Somebody wrongs us, we want to lash out. Jesus didn't lash out. In fact, when his disciples were ready to pull their swords and fight, and one of them did, Jesus, no. That's not what we're doing here. And he put the ear back on that was sliced off. No, there's no place for retaliation in Christ. And so, if you're spoken evil of, you just let it go. Christians are commanded to imitate the apostles. Really? Yes. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me, Paul says. Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. There's the hook. Because Paul imitated Christ, and therefore we see they saw Paul. We read about Paul, so we imitate Paul. But it's really, in the essence, imitating Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and you became followers of us and the Lord, Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. And so, even in Thessalonica, you became followers of us, imitators of us. And so, the apostles were worthy people to emulate in our lives. Paul, of course, and others. Wait a minute. Are we supposed to imitate churches? Wait a minute. Now, we've been taught that each church is autonomous and independent. And I think that's true. What is this in 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators, talking to the church at Thessalonica, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea. Surely they did. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from Judeans. And so you could get some pointers and tips of how to handle those situations. So they became, as Paul said, at least in the New King James translation, imitators of the churches in Judea because of the way they handled themselves when their countrymen wanted to take them out, so to speak. And so these Thessalonica, they had this similar thing going on. And so they were imitating the churches in Judea. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, Hebrews 6. That's almost the whole verse, Hebrews 6, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, there are older Christians, men and women, that you know and that you respect. And if you've thought about it some, you probably say, yes, I try to follow their lead. And that's proper in the church and at Church Universal and certainly church in a local sense. And so there are other scriptures there, but we don't have time to go through all of them. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Everything that is good. Imitate everything that is good. In 3 John, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. Wait a minute. Is that universally true? It depends on how you define good, isn't it? We're defining people who do good as those who are following God. And if people who are not following God are not good in that sense. And so, do not imitate what is evil. Do not imitate what will get you to go to hell, but what is good. He who does good is of God, because they're striving to go to heaven. And he who does evil has not seen God. Christians imitate God by retaining, holding fast the standard or pattern of sound words. Almost the whole verse right there in 2 Timothy 1. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Imitate God by understanding the revelation and the sound words and put everything else out of our learning that would draw us away from those sound words. The sound words which you have heard from me, Paul told Timothy, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Imitate God through the revelation. In 1 Timothy 6, does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. People don't adhere to those. They won't listen to them. Back then and today, he is proud, knowing nothing. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with disputes and arguments. Mm-hmm. From which come envy, strife, reviling, talking bad about people, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. From such withdraw yourself, just to stay away from them. Don't get involved with them. Don't let them suck you into whatever they're doing. To imitate God, we must walk in love, agape. That's a word we haven't spoken of in several weeks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So walk in love, agape, love. Remember this, we spent a week on this. Agape love is devotion resulting from a mental conviction, a determination of your will and your judgment, back in lesson 7. And so, walk in love, the mental conviction of love, as Christ also has loved us. And offering and a sacrifice to God is what our obedience and walking in love of the revelation of the pattern of the Word of God comes up before the Father. God is love. We're in the midst of this. We talked about love for a whole week, and now we're still talking about it again because it's an important subject. He who does not love does not know God. If you're not loving, then you're not a true follower of God. And so we have to love. And if we're going to be saved, God saves us because he loves us, Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But only because we're made alive together with Christ. Those who will not do that are not going to be saved. God saves us because he loves us, but it's through Christ that we have the grace. Everyone who walks in love is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4. That's a little confusing because we're influenced by the worldly definitions of this kind of thing. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This is called true love. This is not the worldly kind of love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I mean, it's a challenge to us to do some self-evaluation and course correction if we need to, because 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 are pretty plain. If we're not loving, and all that means, then we're not going to be in heaven with God. If I've missed a hand, just speak out. I haven't even looked. I'm sorry. We walk in love because he first loved us. We talked about that. 1 John 4 and 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And there's that again. If God loved us, then we have to love one another. And if we don't, then we're not doing what God would have us to do. Simple as that. We must walk in love as Jesus walked in love. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So the Father loves us, the Son loves us, the Holy Spirit loves us, Godhead loves us. I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense to me why he would love us, but he does. And had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice, as we've talked about a couple of times. Jesus loved God and obeyed him, loved the Father and obeyed him, right? John 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. We have to emulate Christ, who kept his Father's commandments, and we keep Christ's commandments. And so we're imitating what Christ did at a high level there. He kept his Father's commandments. He prayed three times in the garden, not to take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. The answer was no. You have to do it. And he did it. And he went and did it and even prevented his followers from trying to keep him from doing it. As Jesus did, we must love God and obey him. 1 John 5, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. Just another verse that says the same thing we looked at a while ago. Any questions, comments?
Andy,
yes. Right. Yeah.
Not displaying the love that you should, or not others focused on should be.
Yeah. And the reviling, the retaliation is where we fall down a lot. Right? Thank you. When we're walking in love, we obey God. John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, it's plain, it's simple. We revisit it a number of times, and it's applicable. If you love me, keep my commandments, Christ said. Our faith works through love. Galatians 5, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you came from, who your mama is, anything like that, but faith working through love is the essence, is the bottom line, if you will, is the hook phrase. It's faith working through love. We can have faith to move mountains, but if we don't have love, it's worth nothing, right? We know that scripture. We are rooted and grounded in love. We're held by the roots. Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love, Christ's love for us, our love for Christ. And we, if we love Christ, we will do his commandments. We will live properly. We will not retaliate when we're reviled. We will just let it go. We are strengthened through knowledge of Christ's love. Ephesians 3, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what is the width and the length and the depth and the height? We have to understand the revelation and the instructions and with the love, so that we know the love of Christ, which passes understanding. It's such a marvel to me that it passes my understanding. I don't know why, but I know it is. I just don't know why it is. That you may be filled with all the fullness. And so we need to trudge on to keep walking in the light. To grow in the knowledge, grow in the grace, grow in the love, so that we can be imitators of Christ and seen by the Father and the Son as imitators of Christ. That's the catch there. We love Christians. Do we? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering. Those are not our strong suits as humans. bearing with one another in love. And so we all have this work to do on ourselves with all lowliness, gentleness, long suffering. And so that's I have work to do on that. I suspect there might be a few others that might need to do that as well. Maybe here, maybe other places. Matthew 22, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." This is the first and great commandment, talking about to the rich young ruler. And the second is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love. And so all our soul, all our heart, all our mind, what's left? Nothing. Right? We have to put God first and fill ourselves up with working for God and with God. And then we don't have a lot of time for other stuff. The world will pull us away if we'll let it. In Matthew 5, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies." Got a little work to do there, probably. "Bless those who curse you." Some work there. "Do good to those who hate you." Check. "And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Yeah. "That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven." We have to do all that stuff and a lot more to be sons of the Father. Right? Adopted into the family. And so we have a lot of work to do, I suspect. I do, and there may be others that do. Matthew 5, 46 to 48. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Because they love you, you can love them. It's not the hard task. It's not the improvement work that we need to do. Do not even a tax collector do the same? Sure they do. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Nothing. You're not doing it. You're not stretching yourself. You're not putting yourself out there. "Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." We have to work on all those interpersonal things with each other and with the world. So don't be screaming over your fence at your neighbor because you don't like whatever. Because that's not what Christ would have done. We assemble together to stimulate each other to love and good works. And you should read those other scriptures, but Ephesians 4. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ," or head, Christ, "from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And so we assemble to stimulate, we assemble to grow, we assemble to edify, we assemble to love. And obviously worship and some other things, but there are a lot of other things that we need to glean out of our assemblies. To imitate God, we must walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you." Just stop all that. "As is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." We've got to walk as children of light. And that doesn't mean while we're here or while we're in view of our brethren, but when we're out of town, when we're in our neighborhood, when we're shopping, when we're eating, we have to walk as children of light. And so, everybody makes mistakes. The waiter makes a mistake, don't yell at him. Right? Or a thousand other examples. Walk as children of light all the time, everywhere. Let no one deceive you with empty words, Ephesians 5, verses 6 through 10. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't throw in with them when no one's watching. For you were once darkness. You see, that again, we talked about this, I think, Sunday. It doesn't say you were once in darkness. You were once darkness. But now you're a light in the Lord. You are light. Walk as children of light. All the time. Not just when people are looking. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Do you remember that other verse that understanding what's acceptable to the Lord? Now it's finding out. So you think take those two together, they're really saying the same thing. You got to work at it. And it's your job to work at it. Verses 11 through 14. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, because you're trying to imitate Christ, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And if you're light, then your righteousness will expose the darkness. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Are you asleep? Are you a Christian that's asleep? Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. But we have to work on the light. Jesus is the light. John 8, when Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, he is the only light. There is no light without him. We see the sun, sure. We see these lights here. Not talking about that light. He's the light of truth. He's the light of eternal life. He's the light of the way to heaven. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The gospel Jesus preached is the light. Not only Jesus is the light, but the Word is the light. And Jesus is the Word. So, yes, Matthew 4, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so as we look at light in a different way, not those lights, not the sun, it's the S-O-N of God. We walk as children of light by obeying the gospel, then. It's Jesus. It's Jesus and his word, which are the same, are one and the same. And then it's by obeying Jesus, obeying his word, John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And that's the truth. Men generally love darkness rather than light. They don't want to drop the things that they are doing to enter the light of Jesus and the light of his word and the light of the gospel. For verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You have to stop those things if you're going to embrace the gospel and the revelation. But verse 21, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, and you're not ashamed of them. And God's not ashamed of you because you've done them in God, in the right ones. Therefore, Christians are the light of the world. Ah, so we're part of the light too. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you think you're the light of the world? You're the light of your corner of the world? You're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. Walk in the light. Walking in the light, we are saints in Christ's kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. What? Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Wow. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, moved us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Son of His love. And if we're adopted into that family, then we're part of the love too. It's so intertwined. You get lost a little bit sometimes if you don't stand back and take a look at the big picture. Colossians 2, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, and so we're under grace. But that doesn't mean there's nothing for us to do. We have plenty to do, and we've talked about some of those things. And so, to imitate God, we must be reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. We have to, in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, die, be buried, and be raised as well. 1 John 1, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else can do it. And if we're not walking in the light, then we don't have access to the blood of Jesus. You can't have it both ways. And so that's why the darkness hates the light, because you have to conform, you have to follow, you have to imitate. As imitators of God, we are wise. We have to be wise. If we're not wise, we're not imitators of God. Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, see that you walk circumspectly. We've seen this verse before. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil today, too. You can look, you can listen to the radio or look at the newspaper or look at the TV, I guess. Therefore, do not be unwise. And here's that verse again. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Figure out what the will of the Lord is. Investigate what the will of the Lord is. Understand what it is, and then obviously do it. We must be careful, circumspect, not walking as fools, but as wise people. So, are you wise? Yeah, take it this way. I hope you are. That's what we have to work on, our wisdom. We have to understand what the will of the Lord is and do that. Be an example. Be in the light. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And if we want power, people look for power. And we want wisdom, people look for wisdom. This is the place. The gospel is the place. Christ is the place. He's both the power and the wisdom of God. Why wouldn't we follow that? Why wouldn't we imitate that? Why wouldn't we sell everything we have and buy that? We are wise because we are in Christ. If you're in Christ, then you're wiser than billions of people over time. Literally. 1 Corinthians 1. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you are in Christ Jesus, then we have that righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But you got to be sure you're in. Not just playing church, but you're working on it every single day. The Word of Christ dwells in us with all wisdom. Colossians 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly, not the bare minimum, not just okay, but richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. Jumping down, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus wouldn't do it, don't do it. Giving thanks to the Father through Him. And we're about out of time. We are made wise through the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15 will end here. The Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, from childhood you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So there that wisdom comes in, wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Everybody probably had this memory verse when they were in some class somewhere. All Scripture is given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We should only be doing good works. The darkness does the evil works, and so we better just be doing good works. All right, that's all we have time for. We're real close to finishing it, so we'll call it done, and then Jonathan will bring this quarter home on Sunday and Wednesday. Thank you.